We're talking about the Toronto Raptors in today's podcast, looking back at their 19-20 season, the off-season, seasons to come, all of that stuff in today's show. Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it.
Let's get to it, indeed.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at BasketballMonster.com and at Yahoo Sports Australia. And you can find me on Twitter as always at RedRock_Beeble and on Instagram at Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Today's episode is also brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code Locked On and you'll get 20% off your next order. We are looking at the Toronto Raptors, the second last team in the team reviews series. Tomorrow, of course, we'll be doing the Milwaukee Bucks, and that's it, all 30 teams done. And then we kick our asses right into gear into the NBA draft with a mock draft coming Wednesday, and then a bunch of different NBA draft analysts coming over the weeks before we get ready to actually just look at the NBA draft when that occurs on November 18th. News has come out about a potential start date for the NBA season, December 22nd. That is unbelievably soon. That's going to make really, really tight squeeze for fantasy drafts because the draft November 18th, free agency was allegedly going to be December 1st, but I don't think you can have free agency December 1st and then 3 weeks later start the year because we know free agency deals don't go all down on one day. So I would imagine that the NBA draft will happen. A couple of days later, you'll get free agency. And then I'm going to be working my absolute ass off to get projections out as quickly as possible so that we can get stuff done in that period or start your drafts at the start of December. And that's when we're going to be churning out so much content here on the podcast. Drafting tiers, mock drafts, busts and sleepers and rookies and all that sort of stuff. There's going to be so many shows. I reckon we probably might be doing even two shows a day during that period because normally we'd have 2.5 months to digest free agency and do draft prep and we could have 3 weeks. So it's going to be really condensed. There's going to be tons of stuff coming out, but I'm still going to be here and I'm still going to be putting out that stuff for you. So really looking forward to it, even though it is going to be ultimately tough. We don't know that the season's definitely going to be happening on December the 22nd or beginning then, but that is what it appears to be, and it is going to be a super quick turnaround. But let's talk about this team who we are looking at today, and that is the Toronto Raptors. Over on the Discord, which is at this point just for Patreon subscribers, Irv Dizzle says, what are the Raptors' chances of having max space to sign Giannis if they have to pay Fred VanVleet and extend OG Anunoby, the Jedi?
Hello there.
But what about Scarves?
OG. OG. You better stop OG.
Okay, for a start off, extending OG, they can just wait on that one. They can do that later on. I don't think that's a worry. Having to pay Fred VanVleet, they can easily do it. And let's just get things clear. If Giannis comes and says, I want to come to your team, you make the cap space. You find it. You trade everything you possibly can. You give up future assets. You do it Clippers style. You give up first round picks. You do it and you clear that cap space to get Giannis in. So I don't think they should say, well, we won't bring back VanVleet just because we might get Giannis. I think that you bring him back, and then if you need to trade VanVleet, if you need to trade whoever it is, every draft pick that you've got, and you do it and you create the space and you dump whoever's on the books at that point to get that space for Giannis. I don't think that's really a problem. Irv Dizzle says, and there's lots of questions about OG Anunoby here. So speaking of OG, what's his expected performance for next season? I know the contract year boost is not a thing you subscribe to, but it is a restricted free agent year for him. So basically, Irv, you're saying is contract year, you don't think it's a thing, but here it is. I think it's a thing. It's not a thing. What it is that as a player heads into their fourth year, which is at the end of their rookie contract, they get better. In their third and fourth years, players get better. So that's how these things work out. And it doesn't actually work out for everybody. But as for OG, he was the 88th ranked player this year. He played 30 minutes a night after a lost year the year before. Now, his numbers aren't particularly great, 11-5. Why was he ranked in the top 90? Well, it's only steals, really. 1.4 steals per game. He shot 51% from the field on low usage, but 0.7 blocks. These are all okay-ish numbers, but it's the steals that gets him this high. Can he get better than this? Yes, I think he can. I think he can get to best case scenario, a 15 or 16 point per game scorer. Maybe not on this squad, but that could depend, depending on what they do, if VanVleet does come back or not. You know, when Lowry takes a step back, I think we're probably a couple of years away from Anunoby hitting his peak, and I think his peak is probably top 50, top 40. He can be a 1.6 steals, a one block guy, 15 points, two threes, seven rebounds. I think that's best case scenario for OG, which is a top 50, top 40 sort of a player. Heading into next season, the 30 minutes a night, does that go to 32? Yeah, I think it probably does. He played 36 minutes a night in the playoffs, and he got over a block per game. He's going to always have some issues with shooting. His free throw numbers aren't particularly great, and he's never going to get assists. But I think he can be better than what he was this year. So I do expect a little bit of a boost from Anunoby. He also says, what can we expect from Norman Powell next season? Prior to the shutdown, he was on fire, or as he says, on fuego, but I just feel really awkward saying that, even though I just did. And when the season resumed, he was inconsistent. With or without VanVleet coming back, what can we expect next season? Well, of course, I don't know, because, again, I haven't even done my projections, because we can't do our projections yet. But what Powell was doing was highly unsustainable, in my opinion. Now, he did sustain it for 50-odd games, and he was injured a lot, and this is why it's hard to judge this Raptors team. Lowry missed a bunch of games. VanVleet missed a bunch of games. Siakam missed a bunch of games. Powell missed a bunch of games. So players' minutes, like Powell, like Anunoby, these guys were able to get their minutes boosted up, whereas where everyone was healthy, very similar situation to Miami, where you saw so many minutes for Chris Dunn early in the season, and then when everyone got healthy, he was squeezed out of the rotation. At some point, if VanVleet and Lowry and Powell and Anunoby and Siakam and everyone's healthy, someone's going to miss out. And Powell's not going to be playing 30 minutes a night and getting 20-plus usage. And Anunoby's probably not going to be getting the same as he did for chunks of this season. And VanVleet may not get the same as he did for chunks of this season. So it is hard to really judge this whole team like that. As for Powell, he shot 50% from the field and 40% from three. You have really strong numbers there. He also was able to get 1.2 steals and average 16 points. I am not really convinced that that's something we can expect. In the bubble, he played only 26 minutes. He averaged under 14 points, and he shot a more realistic 45% from the field. He still shot 40% from three, and that can stick, but he's one of those guys that does nothing else. Like, he scores and he hits some threes, but what else? He doesn't, not a rebounder, not a passer. The steals have been okay, but they were shithouse in the bubble. So what do we make of that? He's a guy that really relied on being a 50% shooter from the field that then fed into more usage and more shots and more scoring. So we know that percentage categories are big fantasy amplifiers. And if that falls off and comes back to normal, then his value drops off. He was the 68th ranked player this last season, Norm Powell. There is under no circumstance would I take him anywhere near that area. To me, he's probably going to be in that 90 to 100 range. He played 28 minutes a night. That could realistically be 25 a night next season, depending on what happens with VanVleet. And then there's the next question is, if the Raps don't re-sign Mark Gasol, which I got to hit the button.
Oh, hi, Mark.
And Serge Ibaka, what can we expect from Chris Boucher? Well, Irv, you didn't chuck it in there, but Chris Boucher is also a free agent. He is a restricted free agent. The reports are, and this hasn't been confirmed, but these reports came out, and they've almost been brushed under the carpet, that Gasol's done in the NBA, that he's just going to head back to Barcelona and play there. And who the hell could blame him? With the coronavirus issues in the United States, the fact that he's Spanish, the fact that he had struggles through this season in the playoffs, maybe he just wants to go hang out, drink wine in Spain and play a little bit of basketball for Barcelona. I think there's a real chance of that. I'd be pretty stunned if Ibaka doesn't come back, given the Gasol situation. But Boucher is not somebody that this team would look at and go, oh, don't worry, Serge, Mark, piss off. We've got our center spot sorted. They don't view him that way. You shouldn't view him that way. He can come in and put up big numbers. We have seen him do it time and time again. He's also 28 years old, so he's not super young. Boucher averaged 7 and 5 with a block in 13 minutes. Now, it's that block, the shooting numbers, he 0.6 threes in 13 minutes. Really, really exciting numbers that he puts up when he plays. But in terms of, is he actually good? I guess you could have pretty strong debates about that, whether he actually is a big, impactful player. I think he can be pretty good, and I think going in as a backup center, you'd be okay with that. But I don't think Nick Nurse views him that way. He just refuses to give him those big minutes, and there must be a reason behind that. And I'm not really here to criticize Nurse. I think he's probably the best coach in the NBA, but he doesn't do everything perfectly. But I think that some of the stuff he does with Boucher is probably right on. And I think that if we did have a Barker leave and Gasol leave, then Boucher would be a massive candidate to be overdrafted. Because people would go, well, he's playing 30 a night, he's going to average 18 and 10 with three blocks. And I think that we might, there is a chance that we could get carried away there. Joe Buck says, I wonder where they play their games this upcoming season, given the border crossing limitations. Limitations make Canada likely infeasible. Look, it's a real worry. The talk has been maybe Louisville, that they could play there, but then talk came out from Bucks players said no way that they would play games in Louisville. After the Breonna Taylor stuff there. So did that make that a little bit more difficult? Could they move into Buffalo and play games there? I'm not really sure. There is a lot of question marks about where Toronto could play. I'm sure they can find somewhere to play, but it probably isn't going to be, at least for early parts of the season, in Toronto, which is it's not going to be great for them and for their team and settling their squad down. I don't think that's obviously an ideal scenario. What is an ideal scenario is getting yourself a box of the best tasting protein bars you can find, regular protein bars. You might as well just scrape shit off your shoe and eat them, really, because that's what they taste like. Built Bar tastes like a candy bar, 100% chocolate. And now they've got 6 new flavors to go along with the original 12. Cookies and cream, caramel brownie, cherry barcia, lemon almond, cheesecake, carrot cake, apple almond crisp. They are the 6 new flavors to join the original 12. These are great because they are low calorie, low sugar, high protein and high fiber. And it just tastes like you're having a treat, where in fact you're having a protein bar. So if you go to builtbar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get 20% off your next order. What a deal that is. Use that promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at builtbar.com. Other questions here from the Discord from OG. Dazza 006. If OG increases usage to 17-19% and shoots 2 to 3 more threes per game, could he develop into Robert Covington 2.0? I understand the appeal of that. Now, his usage was 14% OG, so that's a big, big leap. Why would you want him taking that extra usage when Lowry, VanVleet, Siakam, Powell, Ibaka, Gasol are all there? You probably wouldn't. Now, of course, a few of those could leave, and maybe that does help. To get to be Robert Covington, you need to be blocking 1.2 to 1.5 shots. And I'm not quite sure he's there, nor am I sure he's going to take that many threes. He had a three-point attempt rate of 40%, hitting 39% of them. There are a lot of steps to get there. Can he be a better player than Robert Covington overall? Yes, I think there's an easy chance of that. I think expecting 19% usage is probably going a little bit too far for the Jedi.
Hello there.
Look, I think it takes away from what he does best, and to get to Covington levels, we need to see those blocks really, really jump up. Harry Conayito says Ananobi's last year was similar stat-wise to Siakam's second year. Both guys more or less learned to play off-ball. Do you see the Raps putting OG in a similar role to Siakam's third year? His breakout one? No, because Siakam is still in that role. So that's sort of, in order for him to have that role, he needs to elevate himself to be the second or first best offensive player on the team. And with Lowry, VanVleet and Siakam all potentially there, they're not just going to say, well, now OG, it's your third year and you've taken all these big offensive steps. Can you displace one of these guys? That Siakam breakout was the exception, not the rule. We don't see that happen. So I don't think it's just going to be, well, now OG, you're ready to go. He's actually in his fourth year, Ananobi. I just don't see it. I just don't see him being able to take that level of offensive step up. They don't need him to take that level of offensive step up. So we'll see exactly where it what happens with him. But I wouldn't be expecting that level of increase. Matt Lawson, are you buying or selling these Raptors Dynasty ADPs? Pascal Siakam at 22.6. Now, at the start of the season, a lot of people disagree with me. I had a series of posts on Instagram which these players will finish ranked higher. So who would be the best fantasy player, on the team? And I said Kyle Lowry would be the best fantasy player in this team. And everyone said, no, Siakam is a definite top 20 player. Well, he finished the season ranked 38th. That's what happens when you get pushed into a role where you're the number one guy and you're maybe not quite ready for it. Defensive numbers weren't great. The efficiency, which was so, so high the year before, fell way off. True shooting of under 56%. And that impacted his numbers. And they were some of the things that his game was really built on. So that's why I didn't expect him to be the number one fantasy player in this team. In fact, he was the number three fantasy player on this team behind Lowry and VanVleet. So am I buying him at 22.6 when he's going to turn 27? He was the 38th ranked player this year, and he averaged 23-7. Do I expect that efficiency to go back up from Siakam? I'm not sure that I do, to be honest. He was really putrid in the bubble. In the playoffs, he shot under 40% from the field. He averaged just 17 points in the seeding games. He averaged 17 points in the playoffs. Now, he'll be better than that, but do I expect him to go to 22? I reckon that might be a little bit high. Van Vliet at 42. He is the exact same age as Siakam. He finished ranked 29th versus Siakam's 38th this season. Yet you can get him 20 spots lower. And he has an opportunity. Maybe he goes to another team where his role increases. Or there could be the case that Lowry is retiring or gone in a year or so and Van Vliet's role increases again. Van Vliet at 42 and Siakam at 22 seems wild to me. These guys are literally the same age. I don't understand that at all. Kyle Lowry at 72. Well, Lowry was the 18th ranked player last year. Yes, he's 34. So this is why I talk about when you're drafting in Dynasty, if you want to go win now, you can get so much value. You can take Kyle Lowry at pick 72 and for the next 2 years, get a top 40 player perhaps. Maybe it's just 1 year, but stack it up for 1 year, win a title, and then go from there. And that is really, really good value on him. If your team's built the right way. Anunoby at 78, I think that's really good value. Ibaka at 130, he was the 89th ranked player this year. I'm probably less interested in him at 130 because I think that he might maintain it for 1 year. No, I think that the drop-off will come pretty significantly after that. And then Norm Powell's ADP is 132, which seems low considering that he was 68th this year. I think that factors in some of the regression that I am expecting from Norm. So I'd still buy him there. Terrence Davis at 170. I love Terrence Davis. I'd buy him there. Boucher at 211. Absolutely worth a crack just to see what happens. It might not work out, but you never know. And then Marc Gasol at 276. Well, Gasol was the 130th ranked player. He's 36 next season if he plays at all. At this point, I'd probably just be avoiding Marc Gasol in terms of his numbers. Some questions came in on YouTube as well. Mr. Juice says, is Pascal worth a late first round pick? Guy, absolutely not. And I don't say this to hang shit on Mr. Juice, but these things need to be dispelled. If you are taking a first round pick for Pascal Siakam, you are losing your league. Simple as that. Like, he is not even close to that level. Dave Edwards, unlike many other Raptors fans who want Kyle Lowry to stay with Toronto until he retires, I feel like he's at a point where his demand is just as high as it's been over the last 5 to 6 years, but the age, he is clearly a sell high. They should hand the keys over to Fred and try to get something very good in return. After Kyle's contract is up in 2021, I'm sure he's going to look elsewhere himself. Should the Raptors consider trading Kyle this offseason? Now, that's a tough one. Now, we've seen Masai Ujiri pull the trigger on a Raptors legend before in DeMar DeRozan, which was absolutely the right decision. But as I always say, like, that's fine trading Kyle Lowry, but are you getting Kawhi Leonard back? What are you getting back? Are you getting Luke Kennard back? Like, who knows what the package is? You've got to consider it, for sure. But I don't think you need to be married to the idea that he has to go or to the idea that he has to stay. But you should really investigate it. Now, I've seen this one a couple of times as well, Cyan Prince. Do you think the table Montrezl Harrell was signed with the Raptors, and how do you think he will fit? Well, it would have to be in a situation where one of Gasol or Ibaka doesn't return. And I don't actually mind him playing for the Raptors because they would play him the correct amount. I don't think they'd bring him in to be a starting center. It wouldn't make sense with Siakam or Van Vliet and Lowry. But playing his backup role, playing 24 minutes, being a high-energy, high-usage offensive center coming off the bench, I think that would work. Zone schemes might help him as well. I could see that if it was the right contract and if it was in the right role. But again, I'm not really convinced that that's going to be where he wants to go or the direction that the team wants to go. If we have a look on Instagram, where there were some questions as well, let's just flick through those, see what else we've got. A lot of questions on Siakam and Norm Powell as well and Chris Boucher. Any concerns on Pascal from Zachary Craig on Pascal Siakam after his playoff performance? Yeah, but I know that he'll shoot better than that, but I think this should at least temper our expectations about how good he actually is and where he gets to in his career, because he was really, really poor, and I don't think he should be a number one alpha guy on teams. He's better suited to be a number two player is probably my idea there. MKO77, do you expect OG to break out next season? Again, I've covered that, and probably not to the degree that some people are expecting, it would be my guess. All right, and let's lastly have a look on Twitter because there's lots of questions here as well. Do I think Fred VanVleet leaves in free agency? from Jason Walsh. No, I don't. I do think he remains with Toronto. And he says, who is the center to have in Toronto next year if Ibaka leaves and Gasol's already gone? Well, we just have no idea, Jason, because they're not going to go into the year with only Chris Boucher, who, again, is a free agent. They would bring somebody else in. So we just have no idea. And that is why when I say you don't draft before free agency, because everything changes. And while it's all well and good, oh, we've got to get things in, I'm getting the urge, this is when the NBA season starts. If you draft now, it's going to be ridiculously wrong. Like, your draft is going to be wrong even more so than usual, and your team is going to be bad. Everyone else is going to be in the same boat, but where's the fun in it? Hey, maybe it's just you just like drafting. Maybe that's it. LaFontaine's, if they lose Ibaka, who are the main benefactors? Again, we don't know. It could be Boucher. It could be the other center they're bringing in. Maybe they sign Christian Wood. Maybe they bring in Montrezl Harrell. Who knows? It's really impossible to tell, especially without that confirmation of what the hell Marc Gasol's doing, considering there is that potential that he is perhaps retiring and heading back over to, retiring from the NBA and heading back over to Spain. All right, let's go into these guys now and talk about the Raptors players. We've talked about lots of them already, but let's just cover off the details here with them, starting with Kyle Lowry, who, as I said, was the 18th ranked player. Big PIPM, 2.84, and Raptor at 4.8. Like, they are really strong numbers from Lowry at this point in his career. He comfortably led this team in Raptor at 4.8 and was just a little bit ahead of Siakam in terms of PIPM. 59 true shooting, 23 usage. Unbelievably strong stuff. Now, of course, he's injured. He's always going to get injured, but he averaged 19, 5, and 7.5 with 1.4 steals and hit almost three threes. To me, there's no reason why he can't be good again. I would hate to see him playing 36 minutes a night again. I think that should come down, and that's going to drop his scoring and his overall production. To me, he's probably a 30 or 40s guy rather than a top 20 player, but a massively strong season from Kyle Lowry, which was definitely
a surprise, to be sure, but a welcome one.
Next up is Fred VanVleet, the 29th ranked player. Did not see this coming at all. I thought that we'd get a lot of minutes from VanVleet. I thought he'd be a real sleeper type player. His ADP got adjusted at the end of draft season to 88. I think it was way higher than that. I did not have him being a top 30 player because A, I didn't think they'd start him and Lowry together. I thought it would be Powell and then VanVleet would come in and they'd play a lot of those backcourts, but he'd play 30, 31 minutes, not 36 minutes, which is where he's at. He averaged 18, 4, and 6.5 with two steals on 41 and 85%. There's a couple of things here with VanVleet. The 36 minutes is a worry. If he goes to another team, does he play that much? I think if he stays with Toronto, he probably will. He's only 26. The other worry you have there is the 1.9 steals. And I talk about this all the time. When your best category is steals, and that is VanVleet's best category, if you even suffer a little bit of a dip, if it goes to 1.4, still a really strong number, then that value drops 20, 25 spots easily. Now, the difference here with VanVleet is we could say, well, he goes to another team and his usage goes from 22 to 28%. And he's already dealing with a shit field goal percentage of 41%. So that's not really a worry. But then that worry is that if you get 26% usage, then you do lose a bit of focus defensively, like we saw with Siakam, that your defensive numbers come back down. So would I draft VanVleet in the top 30? If he stays in Toronto, if he goes to another team, I would say the odds probably tell me maybe I'd ease off on that. Now, I loved his dynasty pick at number 42. I think he can be maybe a top 35 guy. Would I want to go higher than where he was? And I think if he goes to another team, he'll get pushed into the top 20 in terms of draft VanVleet because people look, well, he's 29th in Toronto. Look what he can do now. But there is a risk that that does hurt his defensive numbers. And maybe that actually does even worsen that field goal percentage, which I think is unlikely. And that might balance out with usage. But I think the steal numbers are a risk of dropping there. And that gives me some level of pause. Still think he's really good and still got a ton of long-term upside. Next up is Siakam, who had just a 0.7 Raptor, but 2.82 PIPM, 38th ranked player. As I said, the shooting was really rough. He still averaged 23, 7, and 3.5 with a steal and a block and 2.23. It's really, really good. The below average shooting was a concern. Now, if that does come back up, if they limit his usage, which was at 28%, by far the highest on the team, if that comes back and it gets distributed in other areas, then yeah, he can get back to being a more efficient player. But again, that's the trade-off. Higher usage, lower efficiency, and that's why he remained in that similar area to what he was the year before. As a fourth round player, maybe he sneaks in the back end of the third round, which is not crazy because he's only two spots off that. I think that's probably his range, 30 to 40. And I don't expect big steps forward in other areas. I'm not sure that he's reached his peak, but I'm also not ruling that out. I don't think that's an outrageous statement to make. Talked about Powell quite a bit. The 68th ranked player had a negative PIPM with just a plus 0.2 Raptor as well. 62 true shooting, that's the worry to me. If that falls off, and this guy has been an absolute efficiency roller coaster throughout his career. Big shooting streaks, absolute cold streaks, big shooting seasons, cold seasons, and he doesn't do anything else. And when your value is so predicated on, hey, am I hitting shots at a level that doesn't feel real? What the hell else am I supplementing it with? That's why when I talk about Van Vliet, well, the shooting's not good anyway. 41%, it's not good. So if that falls to 38% or 39%, it's not a big of a hit as a guy going from 50% on high volume, really providing all of your fantasy value, getting to 44, then you're absolutely up shit's creek in that sort of an area. So we look at Powell, who had a 50% shooting this year, 48 the year before, and then 40 the year before that. His numbers in 18-19, he had a 60 true shooting. He played 19 minutes. And then he took it even a step further in more minutes, which is not something that we expect. Powell, I'm never drafting him at pick 68. I have no interest in that at all. And if that's where his ADP comes in, I think people are going to be pretty upset or pretty disappointed. Now, I guess the caveat I can throw out there is if Van Vliet does leave, then the 28 minutes that Powell played, that's probably a baseline, and it can probably go up a little bit more, and he'd move into the starting lineup. He'd probably play 30 minutes a night. So that might offset some of it, but I wouldn't want to spend pick 68. Pick 69, maybe.
Giggity.
Pick 69, of course, no. I wouldn't be taking him in that sixth round area. He's probably more of an eighth rounder, would be my guess. The Jedi, OG Anunoby, 88th ranked player. Realistically, that's steals only. The only other category he had, which was a positive, was his field goal percentage at 51%. He shot 39% on threes, loved that efficiency jump, but only a 71% free throw shooter gives us room for pause and a low usage player. But steals, blocks, hits some threes, that's all encouraging. In the playoffs, he averaged 1.2 blocks per game and 7 rebounds in 36 minutes. I feel confident in saying one thing, Anunoby will play more than 30 minutes per night next season. I feel pretty good about that. He's only 23. He's going to improve. I don't think he'll ever be a 20 usage guy. I'd love to see it because he'll be a top 30 player if that ever happens. I'm just not sure we get there. I'd love to see him put up even bigger steal numbers. So when I look at what Van Vliet did from steals, I think there's a risk of that coming down. When I look at Anunoby's numbers, I think, well, he can maintain 1.4, but it can actually go up from there. He's that good of a defender. And as I said, Van Vliet could come down to 1.4 steals, and it's a massive drop-off, but it's still a good number. Whereas Anunoby's starting at 1.4, and maybe he comes down to one steal. That seems highly unlikely. So there is room for him to grow there. And I reckon he's probably a guy we look at as somewhat of a top 100 pick, as long as we're not expecting a huge usage spike and this massive breakout, which some people seem to be expecting from him. Serge Ibaka, 89th ranked player, which is a surprise to me. He played 27 minutes a night because he, in that usage backup role, which is what I think if Harold did come, that's what he'd play. He had 15% or 15 points per game on 24% usage, really absorbing that. He hit 1.3 threes. He grabbed 8 boards, and that's really helpful because him playing at center more than he had in years past. The shot blocking. Remember this guy used to block 3 shots a game? 0.8 he blocked per game. That's wild. But 51% shooting from Serge. He turned into, look, I'm a guy that scores points and gets rebounds, and those block numbers fell way off. He is 31 years of age. If Gasol is gone, I think they'd be pretty happy to start Serge, and then his value would increase. Would it last more than a year? I'm not sure. Does he even want to come back? We don't know that, given he is an unrestricted free agent as well. So there are a lot of question marks with Serge, but there's a chance that he could really jump up and maybe be a top 60, 70 guy, but he's never going to go back and be a 3 blocks per game guy. And that usage, if he did enter the starting lineup, would probably come down from 24%. Next is Marc Gasol. One more time.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Might be the last time that we play that one for Marc Gasol, and I'm playing that because I didn't even realize. Now, I know that if you don't know, it's from the movie The Room, literally one of the worst movies you could ever see. And I didn't know that there was a movie that was made, showing the making of The Room with James Franco and Seth Rogen called Disaster Artist. I found out about this about a week ago, watched it, absolutely dying. I didn't realize that was a thing, and watching the Oh Hi Mark scene play out in that movie was really humorous. Anyway, that's a diversion. Gasol was 130th ranked player. Still big positive Raptors, big positive PIPMs, but it was just weird watching him play. 7 points, 0.9 blocks, 1.3 threes. He just couldn't hit any twos. He refused to take shots, 13% usage. In the playoffs, he looked absolutely busted. He averaged 6 points in 20 minutes. And I think even if he did come back and Ibaka comes back, then he will be limited. Now, in saying that, he still was, I think, probably a better defensive player than Ibaka. But offensively, he just creates such a massive negative with his refusal to shoot that it caused problems. And he's still a really good passer. He averaged 3 assists in 26 minutes. He's a good facilitator and he's a great organizer out there. But his time as being any sort of fantasy impact player is probably cooked. And if he did come back, he's not playing the 26 minutes a night, would be my guess. Terrence Davis, undrafted rookie, 23 years of age, only 17 minutes a night, but one of the best rookies in advanced numbers. A 1.9 Raptor is huge. Plus 0.26 PIPM is not that big, but for rookies, it's really big. 59 true shooting, usage 19%. He played some point guard. He scored. He hit 39% of his threes. I really like this guy long term. Now, if there is an absence, if Van Vliet goes, Davis will play a larger role. I thought we might get a larger role from him in the playoffs and in the bubble. It didn't really happen. He only played 15 minutes a night in the seeding games and averaged 6 points. But I do really think that he is someone with significant upside, a player that can be a really impactful guy in a couple of years' time and has future starter written all over him as perhaps a better Norman Powell, a guy that can pass, play some defense, and can shoot. I've got really high hopes for Terrence Davis, but it probably won't come hugely for this season, but that could be dependent on what they do. This offseason is really, really, it's a really big one for Toronto to see which moves they make, what happens with Gasol, Ibaka, Boucher, and Van Vliet. Like, they are some big, big decisions that need to be made. As for Boucher, the 258th ranked player, we know everybody loves this bloke as a permanent monster. The advanced stats, the Raptor loves him. 3.7 plus 0.9 PIPM, 59 true shooting. These are all really, really strong numbers. They all would tell you, well, Boucher has got this opportunity to be a really, really strong player and a fantasy stud if he gets out there. But there's a little bit of the Bobans to it. Look at the per 36 numbers. Look how good they are. When he plays, he's going to get these big, big numbers. And the problem is that coaches will look at it and go, well, we actually can't play him that much because of how actually skinny he is and how he just doesn't have that strength to be out there. Now, if we look, he played 11 games where he played at least 20 minutes a night. He averaged 25 minutes a game in those 11 games. He averaged 17-9. He blocked almost 2 shots per game with a steal per game, and he hit almost 2 threes per game at 44%, 65 true shooting. They are monster numbers. And if he finds himself in a role where he's playing those minutes, he will get the numbers. There is zero doubt about that with Boucher. But at 28 years of age, he's never really found a role. He is really skinny and struggles with defensive play sometimes. Is he the next Christian Wood? There's a lot of parallels. There's massive parallels there. And he's obviously a name to watch. But he could be someone that gets a little bit overdrafted or overprojected because of those per 36 numbers. And maybe he only can play 20 minutes a night, 21 minutes a night. But those 11 games that he played over 20, they look pretty bloody good. There's a lot of other factors to take into account. Who else was in, who else was out. But this is what he's done continually. When he plays, he is a great per-minute player. We've just got to be careful of ascribing too many minutes to him because maybe the actual on-court play doesn't always measure up to that performance. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, the 264th ranked player. Raptor loved him as well. 2.7, that's a big number. Negative 0.43 PIPM. He is just not a good fantasy player at this point. They played him probably a little bit more than I expected, 19 minutes a night. But he did rehabilitate himself. I didn't think that he was really much of an NBA player after his last stint in Brooklyn. He didn't really play in the playoffs, and he's never going to be a good fantasy option. But he played some decent enough NBA-level defense, which is always his calling card. Can't shoot for shit. 13% on threes is horrible. But what he does, he gets some steals and he plays some good defense. But he's never going to be a useful fantasy option, I don't think. Next up is Patrick McCaw. And, you know, I said earlier on, I criticized Nurse. This is why. Like, I don't know why this guy played as much as he did. He was injured, and I worry about his knee. He just wasn't able to play at all in the bubble. I think that that might be a real problem for him in his career. And this is a guy that I liked. In his first year with Golden State, I liked him coming out of UNLV. He can handle the ball. He could get steals. And he did it again, 25 minutes a night, over a steal per game. But I don't know what the hell else he does, to be honest. Those Raptor and PIPM numbers are gross. Negative 2.6 PIPM, negative 4 Raptor, a 50 true shooting, a usage of 9. The steal numbers are good, but everything else is trash for this bloke. And I don't know why he was playing ahead of guys like Matt Thomas, who established himself as an elite NBA shooter. McCaw is someone that Nurse loves. And coaches have these players that they just irrationally love, Michael Malone and Mason Plumlee, for example. And McCaw offers nothing. I just don't see it. Let's talk Matty Thomas, a 390th ranked player. 65 true shooting, because this dude shot 48% from three. He was an elite shooter coming across from Europe. He is 26, but he is a guy. He averaged 5 points, and over three of those 5 points were from deep. He hits threes. That is what he does. He literally does nothing else, but he hits threes. He's probably behind Van Vliet, Lowry, Powell at this point, probably Terrence Davis, so finding that role is hard. But you want someone to come in, and if he found a significant rotation role, if he played 20 minutes a night, he'd hit two threes comfortably, and that's where he would have fantasy value. He does nothing else, but he is absolutely an elite three-point shooter. Think Duncan Robinson. Think JJ Redick. He can be that guy. So don't completely rule out Matt Thomas having a role, whether it's this team or another team. Joe Harris coming in and hitting three threes a game in 25 minutes. He could actually be a guy that has that value. Now, defensively, he's really rough and he does nothing else. But that shooting from him isn't such an elite level skill that he's going to find a role. I don't know if it's on this team. It might require some moves to occur, but he's absolutely a name to watch for that three-point shooting alone. Paul Watson. Yes, this is a real player. He came in across from Atlanta, played just the 10 games this year, 9 minutes per game. In the G League, Watson averaged 19 points. He got a steal a game, a block per game, and shot 42% on over 7 attempts from 3 as a 6'6 guard. That is absolutely interesting. The plus 2 Raptor in the NBA is also interesting. His G League PRPM, I don't think, was that strong. It was at negative 0.38. But shooting that level of threes, providing that level of defense, is intriguing. Now, he's 26 years of age, so I don't think we should get too excited about Paul Watson. But a guy that, if pressed into action, I think there could be some numbers. Not a complete stiff that's sitting there in that G League squad. Speaking of complete stiffs, Stanley Johnson was the 472nd ranked player. To credit Stanley Johnson, the Raptor at 3.1 is interesting. He didn't really play because he was trash, and somehow he has a player option for this season. So shout out to Stanley Johnson's agent. Stanley Johnson's 24 years of age somehow. I don't know how. He's been around forever. He's never lived up to any of his potential. The shooting numbers are horrendous. 29% from three, 37 overall, 56 from the line. Even the playmaking stuff that he flashed really tended to disappear. It's not great from Stan Johnson. And this $3.8 million player option, he's definitely picking it up. I don't see him playing any sort of a role or having any sort of impact in fantasy leagues. O'Shea Brissett, 487th ranked player. Again, didn't really see much of him in the NBA. 19 games, 7 minutes a game. I'm not completely out on him as a potential rotation guy, but the numbers are rough there. 46 true shooting. If we look at his G League performance, 15 points, 28% from three, 6.5 boards, 1.6 assists. He's a 6'8 small forward type, but I'd want him to do more defensively or more with his shooting, and neither of those things really took place. So I'm not all that excited about him. Dewan Hernandez, really late second round pick, center out of Miami, 495th ranked player. Didn't really see him in the NBA at all. He played about 25 minutes in total. In the G League, he only played 9 games, but averaged 13 and 10 with 2 blocks. Shot 15% from 3, so nothing great there. I think he's got some ability to stretch out somewhat, and he can be a good rebounder and defender. Is he ready to take on the Ibaka, Gasol, Boucher mantle if all three of those guys leave? Absolutely not. But could I see him move at least into a third string center role? Yeah, maybe. I'm not completely out on him being somewhat of a guy that has a bit of a future. He's almost 24 years of age, so he's not super young as a rookie. But I'm not completely out on Dewan Hernandez. And the last bloke we talk about is Malcolm Miller, the 498th ranked player. Miller is 28 years of age or 27 years of age. I don't think there's huge amounts to talk about with him long term. 54 true shooting, 1.8 Raptor. He can be just someone who fills in space. And that's really the best that I can say for Malcolm Miller. Guys, that'll do it for me today. Tomorrow is the last show for the season reviews. It's Milwaukee. So check out Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, Discord. Throw your questions in there about the Milwaukee Bucks, and then we'll head into mock draft season and NBA draft season. Guys, subscribe Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, YouTube. Leave a comment. Give a thumbs up. Leave it all down below. Rate and review on Apple Podcasts as well, guys. We are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.